Sunday Play is The Golden Deed by Andrew Garve, dramatized for radio by Eileen Cullen.
Just a moment, darling. Wait till I've unpacked the tea things.
I will help you, Tony.
We'll have to get him a real raft someday. The old airbed's looking pretty tired.
It's a nice raft.
There you are. Is that enough?
Uh-huh.
Oh, say thank you, darling.
Thank you, Kira. Look, Mummy, over there. There's a man here today.
Oh, so there is. Well, never mind. There's plenty of room.
May I go in now, please?
Yes, but be careful. I'm going to sunbathe first. You'll go with him, won't you, Kira?
Of course, Mrs. Mellonby. Come along, Tony.
Wait, you, Kira.
All right. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
One, two,
three.
Keep close to the edge, Tony.
Mrs. Mellonby. Mrs. Mellonby, it's Tony. He's rather far out, and I can't make him hear me.
What's the matter? Where is he?
Oh, God.
Tony! Tony! Come back! Come back this minute! You're much too far out! You're very naughty! Tony! Come back!
He's blowing him out!
He's still... Tony! I'm coming!
Difficult,
yes, there, but the little boy and his mother.
All right, don't worry, I'll get her.
Tony! God help me.
Don't struggle. I'll soon get you in.
Come on. Help me.
I'll come back for him in a minute now. Turn on your back. Relax. That's right. Now, we're in the shallows. All right?
Oh, Mrs. Mellonby, how dreadful.
Look after him. I'll get him, don't worry.
He's a strong swimmer. He will save him, Mrs. Mellonby.
He's drowning. The wrong thing.
There you are, young man. Look at frightening your mother again like that.
Tony, haven't I told you over and over again to stay near the edge?
But, Mommy!
Well, he's learned his lesson.
It was the wind, Mommy.
Have some tea, Mrs. Miller.
Yeah, that's just the thing. Just what you need.
And you, too. You must be absolutely worn out.
I take a lot of wearing out.
I simply don't know how I can ever begin to thank
you. Really, it was nothing. I'm glad I happened to be around, that's all.
I'm afraid I panicked. Hmm. See, I'm not a strong swimmer, and Kira doesn't swim at all. I simply don't know what we should have done without you.
Here's the key.
Ah, thank you. That's splendid.
I honestly thought those last few yards were going to be too much for me.
I rather wondered myself, to tell the truth. The wind blew up so suddenly.
I can't forget it. When I saw the raft overturn.
I'd rest a bit if I were you.
Do please tell me your name.
Oh, if you really want to know, it's Roscoe. Frank Roscoe.
And I'm Sally Mellonby. That awful boy over there is Tony, as you know. Mrs. Kira from Norway.
How do you do?
Norway. I've always wanted to go there.
Are you on holiday here?
No, I'm on business of a sort. I'm having to find a small farm, just prospecting around, you know. But it looked so good today, I decided to take time off for a few hours on the beach.
Thank goodness you did.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Mellonby, and thanks for the tea. I'll push along now.
Have you far to go?
Oh, no, not really. Just a few miles.
Have you a car?
No, I came by bus and walked along the beach.
Then we must take you home.
Oh, don't think of it. I don't want to break up your picnic.
Oh, we're not in the mood for picnics now. At least I'm not.
Oh, well, Tony looks none the worse. That's something.
Where are you staying?
Oh, a little place called Fresney Stoke, near Bath. I'm at a pub there.
But we live in Bath. We'll drop you off on the way. It couldn't be easier.
Oh, it's extremely kind of you. Well, if you're sure it's no trouble, I'll just get my things.
Come along, Tony. We're going home now. Come and help us pack up.
Why are we going home?
What sort of a farm are you looking for, Mr. Roscoe?
Oh, just a few acres for a poultry farm. I'm one of those redundant army chaps, you know. Too old at 40.
It must be difficult starting all over again. Have you always been in the army?
Yeah, that's the trouble. I don't know anything else. Still, I expect I can learn.
Do you know this part of the country?
No, hardly at all. But a friend of mine recommended it. He said he'd heard the land here was comparatively cheap. I hope he's right.
Well, he may be.
Mummy, can I have a new raft?
Oh, I should think not.
And that's what I call bad timing.
We're coming into Fresney Stoke now. Which is your pub?
The Plough.
Oh.
There it is, just on the left.
Yes.
Very modest, but I'm going carefully.
Mr. Roscoe, I know my husband will be very anxious to meet you. Would you come and have dinner with us tomorrow evening?
Oh, it's very kind of you, Mrs. Mellonby, but it really isn't necessary, you know.
Please, Mr. Roscoe, you saved our lives and you could have lost your own.
All the same.
My husband would never forgive me if he didn't have a chance to thank you himself.
Well, if you put it like that, I'll be very happy to come, of course. Where exactly do you live?
Well, don't worry about that. I'll come and pick you up in the car. I'll be here at 6:30. Will that do?
It'll be fine. I shall look forward to it.
Until tomorrow, then.
Right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
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 Good evening.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Roscoe. What can I get you?
Whiskey, please. A large one.
Whiskey?
Thank you, sir.
A grand day it's been.
Wonderful.
Did you manage to get your swim?
I did indeed. Have a drink yourself.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll have a light ale.
All right. Lovely bit of country you've got round here.
Very nice, isn't it?
You've been here long.
Oh, I've been in this house 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you know some people named Mellonby.
Ah, you mean Mr. John Mellonby.
Could be. I met a Mrs. Mellonby today. Dark, very attractive, with a small son.
That's right, sir. Pretty big shots in Bath, they are.
Are they?
Oh, yes. Public work, you know. He's president of this and that. Fine people and very well liked. Don't throw their weight about like some.
Mm-hmm. What does he do for a living?
Mr. Mellonby? Oh, I don't think he does anything now. Don't need to.
Oh, lucky man.
He used to be a lecturer at Bristol. Archaeology or something of the sort. He's interested in antiquities, I know. I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of the richest men in Bath. Got it all from an uncle some little time ago. You can always count on him for a subscription if the cause is good.
He sounds a generous type.
Very generous he is, sir.
I think I'll have another large whiskey, landlord.
In here, Mr. Roscoe. John, darling, this is Mr. Frank Roscoe.
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Roscoe, my wife has told me all about what happened yesterday. I can only say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
There was nothing to it, Mr. Mellonby.
Well, you must allow me to thank you. I owe you more than I can ever repay.
I'd really be happier if you forgot all about it.
No, I'm not likely to do that. But I understand. Now, what will you drink? Gin and something or sherry?
Oh, gin and French for me, if that's all right.
Yes, of course. Sally?
A sherry, darling.
You have a beautiful house.
It is attractive, isn't it? It's a design they're never likely to improve on. Perhaps you'd like to look round later. There are some lovely fireplaces.
I would indeed.
Well, this is quite an occasion. Your very good health, Roscoe.
Happy days.
Do sit down. I can't imagine why we're all standing. A cigarette, Mr. Roscoe.
Oh, thank you.
My wife tells me you've just left the army.
Yes, I was a major in the Gloucesters when they axed me.
And now you're planning to become a chicken farmer?
Yeah, that's a general idea. Does it sound crazy to you?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
People make fortunes out of it.
The thing is, I've been used to an open-air life, and I don't think I could stand a desk. Hmm.
I suppose you've been into the economics of it.
Well, I've been browsing in the books a bit.
You ought to talk to someone who's actually running a poultry farm.
Yes, that'd be a great help.
I can't think of anyone offhand, but I'm sure we can find someone.
Yeah, I've been abroad so long, I've been almost a stranger here. But I expect I shall soon make some friends.
Well, you've made some already.
Yeah. Oh, darling, nice of you.
You're not married, are you?
No, I'm not. But perhaps when I get more settled... Must have someone to collect the eggs, what?
What size of a place had you in mind?
Well, the gratuity won't run to anything ambitious. About 3 acres, I thought.
Oh, as little as that.
Oh, I'll be working on the battery system. You don't need a lot of ground for that.
What about a house?
Shack. Small bungalow will do to start with.
You know, John, Eleanor's been talking about selling her cottage and field. Eleanor Bright is a friend of ours, Mr. Roscoe. It's a charming little cottage full of possibilities.
You're worrying too much about me.
Well, we just want to help. Would you like me to ask her about it?
That's very decent of you.
You know, it's going to be quite an undertaking, starting from scratch.
Yes, I'll be all right if the money holds out.
Yes. Forgive me if this sounds impertinent, but if an interest-free loan would help over the early stages, you've only to tell me.
Oh, that's most generous of you. But I'd like to stand on my own feet as much as possible.
Well, bear it in mind. And talking of standing on your own feet, Sally tells me you haven't a car.
No, I passed the test and got a license, but I guess the car'll have to wait till I can see my way more clearly.
You'll find public transport here very thin once you get off the main roads. It'll be difficult to do on foot.
And you'll have to cover such a lot of ground.
Mm. You could borrow my car.
Oh, but you'll be needing it yourself.
We've got two cars. I can easily share Sally's. What do you say, darling?
But of course, it's perfectly simple.
You're very kind, but I'm sure you'll find it inconvenient.
There's no reason at all why you shouldn't borrow one.
It's very tempting. Certainly saved me hours of foot slogging.
You can take mine with you tonight.
You're the most generous people I've ever met. Actually, it'll solve another problem, too, because I've got to find some new lodgings.
You mean you're not staying on at the Plough?
No, they're booked up solid after tonight.
Look, I've got an idea. We've got lots of room. I'm sure John agrees with me.
Yes.
Come and stay with us for a while.
Oh, now, look, you people are much too kind. I'm just a stranger.
It's all settled. I'll collect you at the Plough tomorrow evening, and you can use our house as a base till you're fixed up.
But really,
we insist.
Oh, well, I give in. I'm overwhelmed. It'll be an enormous help, and apart from that, I'll enjoy it a lot.
So would we. Now, I think dinner's ready. After dinner, I'll show you your room.
How's the day gone, Sally? Has Roscoe been out exploring?
Yes, he's been out all day. John, I hope he's a good driver. He went down the drive at a speed that would have alarmed you.
Well, I'm considered a cautious driver, you know that.
I rang Eleanor, and she said he could see the cottage any time. The key's at the farmhouse next door, so he was going to have a look at it. Oh, and I spoke to Mr. Adams, too.
Ah, there he is now.
I hope he's had some luck.
Oh, I meant to give him a map of the district.
Oh, I forgot about that. There's one in my car.
Never mind, there's a spare one in the desk, I think. I'll look it out later. Ah, had a good day, Roscoe?
Very promising on the whole.
What about Eleanor's cottage?
Oh, I think it might be a bit grand for me. By the way, Sally... these are for you.
Oh, they're lovely. But you shouldn't spend money on flowers.
No.
Can I have the elastic?
Ah, I've got something better than elastic for you, young man. Look here.
Boxing gloves. Hmm. Oh, super.
Have you done any boxing at school, Tony?
Yes, I have, and I'm a very good boxer. Except that I keep my eyes shut.
Oh. Well, that's not much use, is it? You'll have to practice. I'll soon teach you.
How did you get on with Mr. Adams?
Oh, fine, fine. He was very helpful. I think I've just about got the practical side sewn up.
Can I have a boxing lesson now, Uncle
Frank? Anytime you like.
Let Uncle Frank rest just now, darling. He's been out all day.
Are you a heavyweight?
That's right, son.
Are you a champ, too?
Well, I used to box a bit for the regiment. I did pretty well.
Gosh.
Pity you can't have a crack with us, Mellonby, but I guess that leg of yours has let you down.
Oh, I dare say the leg would be all right, but boxing's not really my line of country.
How did you get the limp? Trouble with the Hun?
No, I was excavating a wall and slipped. The knees played me up ever since.
Oh, bad luck.
Come on, Uncle Frank.
Coming home, ma'am. Now you just see if you can batter me into unconsciousness. wonder if Roscoe's really trying. He doesn't seem to be making much progress, does he?
Well, give him time, darling. He's only had 3 days.
Don't make him too comfortable. You might regret it.
Well, we did press him to make use of us, you know.
Yes. I don't mean to sound ungenerous, but I'm uneasy.
John.
Let's have a drink.
Yes. All right. John, I hope you're going to like him.
I'm having a darn good try.
It was rather awful last night. I can't imagine what got into him.
The answer's simple. Gin.
I don't feel it could have been only that. He didn't have so much. But he seemed like a different person. I don't understand him at all.
Well, we don't really know him very well.
He suddenly seemed such an exhibitionist.
I think he was trying to impress Kira.
I don't like talking about him like this. It seems dreadful after what he did.
Yes, I'm not forgetting that.
But actually, I think I'm a bit afraid of him.
Oh, nonsense.
But it's true, I feel quite terrible about it. Surely it should be easy to like someone who's saved Tony's life.
Not to mention yours.
I do admire him enormously for what he did. But...
Of course, it's a forced relationship being so obliged to anyone. And he doesn't have to turn out compatible just because he's physically brave. Anyhow, Sally, we'll do everything we can to help him. We must do that.
I wish you weren't going to this dinner tomorrow.
Well, I can't very well get out of it, darling. And if I leave early, I should be back by 10. Oh, all alone, darling?
Oh, John, so glad you're back. Just a minute, I'll turn this off. How did it go?
Oh, quite well. Some good speakers. Jones was fascinating about the Shetland dig.
You must be tired.
How's our friend been?
He was quite all right at dinner, except...
Where is he now?
Walking round the garden with Kira. I hope he's not going to turn out to be a wolf.
Oh, I don't think Kira's likely to come to much harm in the garden.
Haven't you noticed how he looks at her?
I've noticed how he looks at you.
No, John, be serious. I'm really very worried.
About Kira?
She's only 18 and rather impressionable. I didn't at all like his manner to her this evening. I wish you'd do something about it.
Speak to him, you mean?
Yes, I think you should. I could talk to Kira, but I don't want to upset her. Do you know they've been out there nearly an hour?
Well, better put the garden light on. It'll help them to find their way back, besides serving as a hint.
They're coming now.
Oh, hello. You're back, Mellenby.
Yes, and very glad to be home.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Mellenby. I didn't know it was so late.
I could take that as a compliment, eh, Kira?
I think I'll go up. Good night, Mrs. Mellenby.
I'm coming too, Kira. Don't stay too long, John.
No, darling, I won't.
Well, I think I'll turn in too.
Have you a big program tomorrow?
Four places. One of them sounds quite promising.
Oh, good. Just switch that lamp off, will you?
Aye.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, Roscoe, just a word of warning. I'm sure you'll understand. The fact is...
What are you driving at?
Sally's a bit worried about young Kira. Don't let her get too fond of you.
What's the idea?
She's very young, you know, and we're responsible to her parents. She obviously admires you, and we don't want her upset, so watch out.
Come off it. A man in my position has to take his fun when he can get it.
Don't try to take it here. That's all.
Oh, don't be so damned censorious. Okay, old man. I certainly don't want to abuse your hospitality. I'll lay off her. No more walks in the garden, eh? I promise.
Thank you.
Bath, 9201.
Oh, Sally, sorry to bother you, but I've had a bit of an accident with a car.
An accident? How do you mean? Are you hurt?
Oh, no casualties, no damage to speak of, but I'm stuck and I'll need some help to get clear.
But what's happened?
Oh, got my near side jammed against a wall. I was trying to pass a caravan in a lane. It was the best place to ring for a breakdown van.
Where exactly are you?
ringing from the call box on the main road, and the signpost says Eversley half mile one way and Crouch 4 miles the other.
Oh, I know the place. It's Blackett's Lane, where they're rebuilding a bridge.
That's right. We're just beyond the bridge.
Well, aren't there any workmen who can help?
Not a damned one. I wouldn't have bothered you.
Well, I'll ring our garage.
Oh, thanks a lot, Sally. Awfully sorry. Bad show, I'm afraid.
Don't worry. Could happen to anyone.
What's the trouble? Roscoe, I suppose.
Yes, he had some sort of accident with a car. I'm ringing the garage.
What's he up to now?
Oh, it's a nuisance. I think I ought to run over there, John. Doesn't seem to be a reply. I wonder what's happened if no one turns up.
Well, I'd better come along with you. We might be able to lend a hand. It looks a pretty tangle.
Hello, you two.
We thought we'd better come ourselves.
Oh, sorry to bring you out, John. Well, I've put up a bit of a black.
So it's your car, is it?
This is John Mellonby and Mrs. Mellonby. I'm staying with them.
How do you do?
Well, Mr. Mellonby, if you don't mind my saying so, this fellow's not fit to drive a... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bawl at you. My name's Sherston, by the way.
How did it happen?
Well, he was going a heck of a lot too fast.
He's talking through his hat. I'd have been all right if it hadn't been for the bridge.
It's an accident black spot, as a matter of fact. There's been talk of widening the lane.
In any case, it was ridiculous trying to bring a caravan through.
We wouldn't have thought of it if someone hadn't told us there was an old quarry which would make a good stopping place.
I know the quarry. It would make a good stopping place.
Oh, this is my wife, Eve.
Oh, hello. And I'm Sally Mellonby.
Hello.
How do you do?
Anyhow, there doesn't seem to be much harm done. Do you think the three of us could lift it?
Ah, we've tried already. We're both pretty hefty. I doubt if you'd make much difference, old man.
Well, I'll try the garage again from the call box.
Oh, thanks very much. Well, what about you folks joining my wife and me in a glass of sherry while we wait, eh?
That's a very nice suggestion.
Well, we might as well make the best of it. Yes, come in and see the homestead. That is, if we can get in. I'll go ahead. Can you squeeze through?
Yes, I think so.
If George can manage, we ought to be able to.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but what a marvelous caravan.
It is nice, isn't it?
Oh, we find it's better than staying in hotels if you want to see the country. You know, this way we're independent.
It looks wonderfully compact.
Yes, it is. It's got practically everything.
Yes, life would suit me all right. Especially if I had a woman like Eve.
What the hell are you insinuating?
Insinuating? Nothing, old man. Keep your shirt on.
Now, look here.
Oh,
I admit you.
I love the big windows.
Yes, it's almost like living out of doors without the discomfort.
My little boy would love it.
Oh, so you like our home, eh?
It's wonderful.
The breakdown van will be along shortly.
Oh, good.
Isn't this charming, John?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Sherry, Mellonby?
Thank you. Well, this is very hospitable of you. You're on holiday, are you?
In a way. Well, if it takes us years, so much the better. First England, then all round Europe with a bit of luck.
Where are you from?
Trinidad. I'm an oil man. At least I was. A mining engineer.
Chap in my regiment, redundant like me, was thinking of going out there.
Are you planning to go back there eventually?
Well, we haven't really got around to deciding that, have we?
We had a wonderful stroke of luck.
Oh, yes, you see, I bought myself a small crown concession in the bush, and it turned out that there was oil there.
That was very smart of you.
Oh, well, it's my line, of course, and I had a hunch. But I had to act fast because there was another fellow after it. But I guess that's the way to make decisions quickly. Impulse, that's the thing, don't you think, Mr. Mellonby?
I suppose it makes for an exciting life.
Yeah, sure it does. Like the way we packed up and came over here.
We even got married 2 days after we met.
I guess we're talking too much about ourselves. More sherry, everyone.
How long are you staying around here?
Oh, depends what there is to see. I've heard Bath's an interesting place.
Oh, it's unique.
My husband can tell you all you want to know about Bath.
If you happen to be interested in architecture, it's a sheer delight.
And what about those famous waters? Do you think they'd get this corporation of mine down, eh?
Someone told George that a spa course was just the thing to tone one up.
Oh, does he need toning up, Mrs. Sherston?
Those repairmen should be here by now.
Oh, there they are, I think.
A bit of trouble, eh? You folks have fairly got yourselves wedged in. What have you been trying to do? All right, Mr. Mellonby, we'll soon have this straightened out.
All right. Heave away, lad.
You'd better come back with us, Roscoe. The man will take the car back to the repair shed.
I wouldn't let him drive if I were you, Mr. Mellonby. By the way, you'll let me know what the bill is.
Oh, it won't amount to much.
I wonder if you'd like to bring your little boy to see the caravan sometime, Mrs. Mellonby.
Do you mean it? I know he'd adore it.
Oh, well, come and have tea one afternoon. May I ring you?
Yes, do. The number's Bath 9201. It's in the book.
I shall look forward to it.
So shall I.
Ready, Sally?
Yes, just coming.
I'll be seeing you then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
I've just come from the garage. The car should be ready by tomorrow.
Well, I suppose we should be thankful it's no worse. Are we going to let him go on using it?
I'm a bit stumped. I don't know what to do.
He may be more careful after this.
For 2 pins, I'd ask the man to leave the house at once.
I don't think it would be wise, darling. It could be terribly nasty. It may not be for much longer. It would really be better if his departure came about naturally.
He's so unpredictable. His behavior to Mrs. Sherston yesterday.
He just sat and leered at her.
He's an unspeakable oaf where women are concerned. Is he in the house, by the way?
Upstairs, I think. Hmm.
Hello? Yes, this is Bath 9201. Mr. Roscoe? Wait one moment, please. It's for Mr. Roscoe. The gentleman was quite rude.
You say it was for me. Who is it?
I don't know, Mr. Roscoe.
No. Yes, who is it? Oh, you will, will you? Oh, for God's sake, pipe down. What's all the fuss about? Don't be so ruddy, silly. It was only a friendly gesture. Now, you better watch your step, too, or you'll get hurt. Oh, shut up. You make me sick. Damn fool.
I wonder what mischief he's up to now.
He sounded horrible. Darling, I don't think I can stand any more of it.
I wonder if he's making any real effort about the farm. Suppose we give him 2 more days, then I'll ask him to find somewhere else to stay.
All right. 2 more days.
Is Mrs. Mellonby in?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, I'm Mrs. Sherston. May I come in?
Of course.
Oh, Mrs. Mellonby, Sally.
Oh, hello, Eve.
Do forgive me coming in like this. I've really come to apologize for George.
What's George done?
Well, I mean about his telephone call last night. I hope Mr. Roscoe's not about, is he?
No, he's out of the way. But what's the trouble?
George was so angry with him, he just rang up and blew his top. I knew he should have asked for you first.
You mean it was George who rang Roscoe last night?
Well, yes, didn't you know?
What was it all about?
Mr. Roscoe turned up at the caravan yesterday. As it happened, George had gone into Bath to ask about the waters. I must say he was pretty unpleasant to deal with, but I got rid of him. When George came back, I told him about it. He was so furious, he just rushed to the phone box before I could stop him.
I don't blame him in the least.
I don't quite understand. I mean, he's a guest in your house. Don't seem to like him very much. He's so different from you.
We're under an obligation to him. We were trying to help him.
But we don't really know him at all.
What's the matter with the man?
As a matter of fact, John had to warn him off Kira, our nice Norwegian girl.
Well, he better not risk anything with George. He was brought up rough and tough, and I'm afraid he's not very civilized.
It's Roscoe who's not civilized.
What are you going to do about him?
We're going to tell him he's got to go.
There's more coffee.
Not for me, thanks, darling.
No more for me. Mellonby, I wonder if we could have a word in private.
In private?
Well, I'm going up to say goodnight to Tony. I'll leave you alone with my husband, Mr. Roscoe.
Well, what's worrying you?
It seems that I'll have to take you up on that offer of a loan after all, old man.
You mean you've found a place that suits you?
No, I haven't found anything, and unless I can raise some money quickly, I'll have to give up the whole idea.
Why, what's happened?
Well, the fact is,
I owe quite a bit. I hoped the chap would wait, but instead of that, he's dunning me for the lot right away. That was the happy news I got in that letter this morning.
How much do you owe?
I suppose I better come clean with you. £7,000.
That's a lot of money.
Well, you're telling me, oh, man. Still, it wouldn't mean a lot to you, would it?
It's a lot of money by any standard.
I'm told you've given much more than that to charity. Well, surely I'm a deserving cause.
You're pretty cool.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. You owe me for 2 lives. You've talked a great deal about gratitude. Okay. This is the payoff.
You put things very bluntly.
Well, not much point in beating about the bush. You promised to help me, and I need help. I'm claiming it as a right.
All right, Roscoe, I'll be equally blunt. I accept that I have an obligation. It's been weighing on me quite a bit.
Mm.
I still want to help. But I'd like to be quite sure I'd be doing some real good.
Well, I'm the best out of that.
You're asking me for a present of £7,000. Don't you think I'm entitled to ask a question or two?
What do you want to know?
To whom do you owe this money?
Well, I don't see that it matters. But if you must know, he's a colonel in RE, or was. He's retired now, lives in London.
Hmm. Would you think it prying if I asked how you came to borrow so much money?
I would, but I'll tell you. It was when we were stationed in Kenya. I bought a farmhouse as a speculation. Lancaster lent me most of the dough and a private income. And the Mau-Mau burned the place down, and I had a debt. Nothing to show for it.
Wasn't the property insured?
I thought it was, but it wasn't. Not against Mau-Mau.
And now your friend is asking for the whole capital back.
That's right, old man. Wants it urgently.
Would you object to showing me the letter he wrote?
I can't. I tore it up and threw it away.
Oh, it's a pity. How did he know you were staying here?
Oh, I wrote to him just to keep him sweet, but it merely set him off.
Of course, you could start paying him now out of your gratuity.
I'll need that for the poultry farm.
You still plan to buy one?
Of course. With 7,000 from you, I'll have nothing to worry about.
What is Colonel Lancaster's exact address?
Oh, that's my affair. No need for you to go chasing after him. All you've got to do is discharge your debt. Well?
I'll have to think about it.
You better think quickly.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Do you mean to tell me, John, that the whole thing's an invention?
He certainly invented Colonel Lancaster. I've been through the army lists, and there's no such name in recent years. And so I thought I might as well look up Roscoe himself. It went against the grain, but after all, we've taken him completely on trust. There was no Major Roscoe in the Gloucesters.
You mean it's not his name at all?
Oh, it may be his name, but he was never in the army. The whole thing is a tissue of lies. Another thing. You remember he told us the plough was booked up?
Mm.
Well, the landlord told me today it had been a bad year. He's never been without empty rooms.
Just a confident man.
Looking for a victim. And he found one. He simply tricked his way into our house.
But John, he couldn't have saved me from drowning as part of a plan.
No, I know. It's probably the only genuine thing about him. He did a spontaneous action and then seized on the chance to exploit our gratitude.
It's fantastic. What are you going to do?
What baffles me is how he ever thought he could get away with it. That story of his never even began to sound true.
I suppose he was just trying it on.
Do I really seem so gullible?
Well, darling, you do give a superficial impression of not being too worldly wise.
Even so, he must have known I'd never hand over £7,000 without some sort of a check. In fact, I'm sure he did know. I made it clear enough. And it must have been obvious he'd be shown up as a fake.
It's very odd.
He'd have done better to ask me straight out for a gift when he first came here.
Perhaps he's just not a very good confidence man.
Why did he have to say he was a major in the Gloucesters?
And when he told me that, he'd only just met me. He didn't even know you had money then.
And if he planned to ask for money on that scale, you'd think he'd have behaved a bit better.
I think he's completely unbalanced.
Damn the fellow. It was bad enough having to be grateful to him before. It's intolerable now.
Mind if I have a drink?
Yes, help yourself.
Oh, thanks. Where's Kira?
She's gone to the pictures.
Well, perhaps she's just as well. Mellonby, let's get this over. What have you decided?
I checked up on your story.
You did? The day. So, I didn't think you could be quite the sap you seem to be.
Really? You don't have to be insulting as well as everything else.
Anyway, there it is. There's no Colonel Lancaster. You weren't a major in the Gloucesters, so you've no gratuity. And I'm pretty certain you haven't been seriously looking for a farm.
You're dead right, damn silly things, hens.
Well, at least we know where we are. I can't imagine what you think you're going to get out of all this.
I think I'm going to get £7,000.
You surely don't expect that now.
Indeed I do. I saved your wife and child, didn't I? I did my golden deed, and that's what it's damn well going to be, golden.
You're wrong, Roscoe. If you think I'm going to pay $7,000 to a brazen crook, you're making a big mistake. I could prefer a serious charge against you. But if you clear out now...
It's you who are making the mistake.
It would be more comfortable all round if you went straight away.
Oh, would it? Now, let me tell you something. I like it here. The house is nice, the food's adequate, and with £7,000 in the bank, I shall get along fine. So, I'm staying. I even like your wife.
You must be out of your mind. Get out of here.
You don't know me very well yet, Mellonby, but you're going to very soon. You've been underrating me. I'm not afraid of you. I could break you across my knee. And I'm not afraid of Shearston either, the big slob. I went around to see his wife again today, just to show him.
He's mad. I'm going to call the police. I'm warning you.
Oh, that's what you think.
John!
How much use you trying any rough stuff, little man? Doesn't take much to knock you down, does it?
Get to the telephone, Sally.
Now, don't move, Sally. I'm not having any sneaking out. We're coming to a full understanding before anyone else moves.
You'll never get away with this, Roscoe.
Oh, won't I?
Dear God.
Now, perhaps we can talk things over quietly. Sit down, Sally.
You don't...
On the contrary, I'm going to stay here and you're going to keep quiet about me. You're going to pretend you like having me around. Don't answer that.
It may be clearer.
If it is, you can wait. Now, let's get this quite clear. You'll play along with me, and if you don't, you'd better take a last look at that sweet child of yours. Ever heard of people using razors? Who could that be? Come on, hold with you. What have you been up to?
Don't know who it is.
Go and see. But remember what I said. Don't move, Mellonby. I said don't move.
Where is he? Where's that devil at? Oh, so there you are, Roscoe. I'm going to break your ruddy neck.
Look out.
I'll teach you to come creeping after my wife.
Don't. Force me, Thurston. You'll only want
I'll kill you, you little... Off!
You're not very good training, are you? Are you satisfied? Come on, get up.
You devil.
John. John, do something.
Let me put down that chair. You're dead.
Oh, thanks, John.
Do you think he's all right?
Yeah, he's only knocked out of you. Be around soon.
I'll get some water.
Thank God you came.
Oh, what a mess. Sorry, Sally.
I can't imagine what he's been like tonight.
I warned him. He came to the caravan again today and went for Eve.
He's been threatening us, hitting John.
Why?
He was trying to get money out of us.
Damn thug.
I brought some water.
Oh, come on, dash some in his face. But watch out. He may be shamming.
He looks pretty bad.
We'll have to do something about him before Kira gets
back. Oh, why don't we take him upstairs?
No, he can't stay here. I don't want anything more to do with him. I want him out of the house. He's horrible.
I'll ring the police.
Now, you don't think we ought to wait till he comes round?
Why?
Well, after all, we did both go for him.
I think we ought to tell the police about his terrible threats. He was talking about razors.
We'll just have to put ourselves in their hands.
Did you see a razor?
Yes, he threatened to use a razor on my little boy if we didn't give him money and keep quiet about it.
Oh, I was bluffing, of course.
I'm not sure.
Oh, John, I'm so scared.
Well, he's harmless enough at the moment, anyway.
Yes, but what about later?
Darling, we've either got to keep him here for the night or call the police. I think the best thing is to hand him over now.
Oh, I'm so tired I can hardly think. All I want is never to see him again.
You know, you two aren't in a state to make decisions just now. I think we should keep the police out of this if we can. What do you say we wait till the morning?
We've got to get rid of him. I can't bear having him in the house.
Look, sir.
Now, what about me dumping him in the car and taking him along to the caravan for the night? I'll keep an eye on him.
Oh, if only you would. What about Eve, then?
Oh, Eve won't object if I sit over him with a spanner. Anyway, I don't think he's likely to give any more trouble.
I'm surprised he's out so long.
Well, what do you say, John? He'll be out of your way and...
Please, John.
I feel a bit worried.
I think it's the best way, you know. No one will see him then.
We'd better hurry. Kira's due back any minute.
Well, you'll have to help me get him into the car, I think, John.
I'll try and straighten up here.
Perhaps I'd better come with you.
No, no, no. I'll manage. You stay and look after Sally.
It's very decent of you to take him
off
our hands.
Oh, don't worry. Come over in the morning, and between us, we'll fix up Mr. Roscoe's future. Come on, now. You take his feet, and I'll take his shoulders.
I only hope I never see him again. Yes? Who is it?
It's Eve. Eve Shelton.
Oh, Eve, it's you. Has George got back?
Yes, he has. Oh, Sally, I'm so sorry about it all. It must have been dreadful.
It was horrible. A man like that should be shut away for good.
Is John there?
He's in the bath. Why?
George thought I'd better ring just to let you know. Roscoe came round, but he keeps going off again. I want George to call a doctor. What do you think?
Oh, I see. Well, yes. Perhaps it would be better. Try Dr. Hamley. His number's Bath 9207.
Bath 9207?
Yes, 207. Well, I'll tell John, and he'll come round in the morning.
Yes. Well, good night, then. Don't worry.
Good night. Hope you get some sleep.
Who was it?
It was Eve. Roscoe came round, but she says he keeps going off again. They wondered if they ought to get a doctor.
I don't much like the sound of it. I wonder if I ought to ring Hamley and take him round right away.
Darling, I think we can leave things to George. He's on the spot. Honestly, I'd wait till the morning. You can go first thing.
God, I'm tired. What a night.
Try and forget it.
Forget it? I'll never do that. Yes? Bellamy here.
John. Cheston. I'm sorry I had to ring.
What's happened?
I'm afraid I've got bad news.
Roscoe?
You better brace yourself. He's dead.
No.
I'm afraid so.
Have you called a doctor?
It's too late. There's no doubt about it.
When did you find out? What happened?
About half an hour ago. I'd been out for a stroll, couldn't sleep. But when I came back, I had another look at him. He was gone.
George, why didn't we get a doctor right away?
Well, who the hell would have dreamt he'd go out like that? Now, listen, does anyone else know what happened tonight? You didn't tell Kira.
No, we didn't say anything.
I'd like you to come round. We must talk.
All right, I'll come straight away. Where's George?
Oh, John, I'm glad you've come. He's over there in the bushes.
George, what in God's name are you doing?
Ah, you've been quick. Good man.
What are you doing?
You want to take a last look at him?
Stop, are you mad? We can't do this.
Quiet, man. What else can we do?
We can tell the truth. We must. What's got into you? Stop it. Put down that spade.
Let me finish, John. It'll be light in half an hour. We have no choice. Dad, when I'm through, it's almost done.
This is madness.
Let me get on with it.
Can you give me a drink, water, anything?
Yes, here you are.
Thank you.
You look awful. Sit down.
George is mad. Do you know what he's doing?
I tried to stop him, truly I did, but he wouldn't listen to me. John, I'm terrified.
You've good reason to be. We all have. If only I'd known. What's that?
Who's coming on at this hour?
False alarm. It's only the milk curry. It had me worried for a second.
George.
I'm sorry. Sorry if I was a bit rough out there just now, John, but I had to finish what I'd started. Oh, I know what you're going to say. I ought to have consulted you first.
If I'd even dreamed...
There just wasn't time for a discussion. I had to use what darkness there was left.
But why? We're not criminals. It was an accident.
Now listen to me, John. Of course it was an accident. We neither of us intended to kill him. But what would it look like if tonight's story leaked out? We both hated his guts.
I don't care what it looks like.
You soon would. Can't you see? We wouldn't have a dog's chance. We both went for him, and between us, we knocked him unconscious. We were 2-1, 3, if you count Sally.
We've got to tell the truth.
Ah, there's not a jury that wouldn't bring in a verdict at least a manslaughter.
Eve.
I think George is right. It would look bad, John.
Well, we'll have to take our chance. We only did what we were forced to do. He was threatening to use a razor.
He hadn't got a razor, though. That's what the jury would pick on. They'd say we weren't either of us in actual danger of our lives. Oh, believe me, John, I know what I'm talking about. There was only one way to look after ourselves, and that was to put him in the ground. And I'm glad he's there.
You're wrong. You've put us both in the wrong, hopelessly. Don't you see? What you've done now is criminal.
Oh, maybe it is, technically. But not any other way, not morally. Anyhow, I did it on my own. I'm not asking you to take responsibility for
you
it.
You are. I know about it. That's enough.
Oh, keep quiet about it, that's all. In any case, I don't see how you can do anything else. They'd never believe you hadn't had a hand in it.
I can't keep quiet about it.
Yes, you can. All you've got to do is to give out that Roscoe's pushed off somewhere else. You don't know where. Fortunately, he didn't speak as if he had any roots here, did he? He came out of the blue and he's gone back into it.
Everyone leaves traces. What about his things up at the house, his clothes?
Oh, yes, you'll have to pack those up double quick. I'll get rid of them.
Suppose someone found him.
By the time I've finished with the place, there won't be a sign. It's
so miserably cold-blooded.
Yes. I didn't enjoy it. Ah, oh, John, I know how you feel. Don't imagine I don't understand, but the thing is, it was necessary.
Eve doesn't think so.
I didn't at first, John, but perhaps George is right. No one would believe you.
I'll have to talk to Sally.
Yes, you do that. Ask her if she wants her life ruined, all our lives, 4 lives ruined for that bastard. Now, I know you're a man of principle much more than I am, but I've only tried to do the best for all of us.
I'll come back later anyway.
Yes, and bring the clothes. And John, for God's sake, be careful. Watch your step.
John, darling, do you think George is right?
How can you ask?
No, of course, I know. But I mean, right about what would happen if you told the truth. Yes. Would you be sent to prison?
If only we'd done it right away. But now, it would sound terribly bad in a court of law. I'm horribly afraid he may be right. But it need not have been like this.
Well, surely they'd believe it was an accident.
Unfortunately, the law goes mainly by results.
I couldn't bear it if they sent you to prison.
The trouble is, we didn't do any of the things we ought to have done after it happened. What sort of a figure would I cut in the witness box? Roscoe is a man who saved my wife and child from drowning. And even supposing we got over other things. Actually, burying him, we'd never get over that. I think we've got to face it. The verdict would be manslaughter.
What would that mean?
Anything up to 5 years.
John! 5 years? But it would be so unjust. You've done absolutely nothing. It's unthinkable. You can't do it. I won't allow it. Suppose we keep quiet. What then?
Well, if we say he left here last night... But if inquiries ever did start, things would get very difficult.
He said he had no relations.
You never know. There's always something one hasn't provided for.
It may be very wrong of me, but I think I'd rather take the risk. Do you think we could ever carry on as if it hadn't happened?
I doubt it.
But we can't bring Roscoe back to life. What good would you be doing by telling the truth?
I believe in law and order. I have a very deep feeling about it.
I know, but there must be some exception.
I don't think so.
Yet, when you found out Roscoe was a fraud, you were going to let him go free because you were grateful to him. You were making your own rules then.
Yes, strictly speaking, I was wrong. But at least I wasn't doing it to shield myself, which is what I'd be doing now.
You really want to confess, don't you?
I hate the thought of living with a lie.
more than the thought of prison.
I think so.
Listen, John, I think we should keep quiet. George has forced your hand. I know he's been terribly wrong, but you've done nothing. Please think of me and tell me.
I simply hate the whole thing.
John, it's nearly breakfast time. We've got to be prepared with a story for Kira and Tony. Roscoe left last night. Good morning, Kira.
Good morning, Mrs. Mellonby. Tony, please run and ask Uncle Frank if I shall boil an egg for him.
Oh, Uncle Frank's gone.
Gone?
Gone where, Mummy?
He left last night. He had to make up his mind in rather a hurry. He asked me to say goodbye to you both.
He has stopped looking for a farm?
He heard of one in Sussex, Kira. That's south of London. And he thought he'd better look at it straight away.
Is he coming back, Mummy?
No, I don't think so, darling.
But he's left his boxing gloves and punch ball. They were in the shed. I just saw them.
Oh. Well, if he wants them, I expect he'll send for them.
Perhaps he'll forget. It's a jolly good punch ball.
Frank was sorry not to see you, Kira. I'd have told you last night, but I thought it might upset you a little.
I am not upset.
Well, I thought you rather liked him.
At first, perhaps, but not later. He was not a nice man, I think.
No, he wasn't a nice man.
Everything all right, John?
I think so. Here are his clothes. The case with his, too. Where will you hide it?
Oh, the ground's the best place. There, where the earth's off, near the other. But I'll have to wait till it's dark. You can leave it to me. I'm grateful to you, John. I know how you feel about it, but don't worry.
What are your plans now?
Oh, I thought we'd move on tomorrow. Eve can't wait to get away.
Yes. Where will you make for?
Well, we'll stick around in England till we're sure there's not going to be any trouble. I don't want to leave you in the lurch. And if anything did crop up, we'd need each other like hell. Short of that, I think the less we see of each other, the better.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I'll give you a ring in a week or two just to check up and let you know where we are. I feel pretty bad about it. I know I was a bit high-handed.
If you consulted me, I'd never have...
I knew that.
But I've accepted the position now, and I'll go through with it.
Good man. Say goodbye to Sally for me.
Daddy! Come and watch me with the punch ball!
Don't worry, Daddy, just now, Tony. He'll come out later. Do eat some breakfast, John.
I'll just have some coffee, I think.
And you simply can't go on like this. You look so ill. Oh, what's the matter? What's in that letter?
It's addressed to Roscoe.
To Roscoe?
Yes, I've opened it. I didn't know what else to do.
What is it, John? Is it bad?
Very bad, I'm afraid. Where's Kira?
Upstairs. She's busy. Read it to me.
Dear Roscoe, I was surprised and distressed at the contents of your letter. The money I gave you was specifically for investment in the company, and as I gather you have not yet closed the deal, it should still be in your possession in full. You certainly have no right at all to use any part of it for your own purposes, which, judging from your evasive tone, I begin to think you must have done. Indeed, I am now seriously wondering whether the company ever existed and whether I was not taken in by a smooth talker. I feel very worried and upset and angry. And the purpose of this letter is to tell you that I expect the return of the £7,000 in full and immediately.
John.
I can accept no excuses. If I do not receive your check by first post on Friday morning, I shall go at once to the police and ask for your apprehension on a charge of false pretenses and fraud. In view of our past relationship, I much regret this, but you have left me with no alternative. Charles E. Faulkner.
So, he did owe money.
That part was true.
And if this man, Faulkner, tells the police about him, I suppose they'll come here.
They're bound to. It was Roscoe's last known address.
He says Friday, doesn't he? That's tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
What can we do?
Imagine the questions they'd ask. All of them awkward. All of them full of pitfalls.
Surely we could make up a watertight story between us. He told us he was going to Sussex, but he didn't tell us where. After all, I don't see why they should suspect us of anything.
It wouldn't be long before they did. They'd start to check up on his movements. They'd go to the station and find no one had seen him. Whatever story we told, they'd be able to disprove it. We'd be caught in a web in no time.
We must plan something.
They'd question the neighbors. Someone might have heard me drive off in the early hours.
they'd find out about the caravan. The charge could easily be murder.
Murder?
We've got to stop the police coming here. I think I know how it might be done. I'll have to see this man Faulkner, and I'll have to see him today. His telephone number's on the letter. If he's a decent chap, it may work.
Well,
good afternoon. Mr. Faulkner?
Yes, Mr.
Mellenby.
Do come in, won't you? In here.
Thank you. You'll find that chair quite comfortable.
Thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't explain over the telephone. I felt I had to see you. So, as I had other business in London, I thought it might as well be today.
You said it was about Frank Roscoe. Is he a friend of yours?
Roscoe has been staying at my house in Bath for a week or two as my guest. This morning he showed me a letter he just received from you. I gather he owes you £7,000.
Oh, he does indeed.
Well, I've come to settle his debt.
What? You mean Roscoe has sent the money?
No. I mean I should like to pay it for him.
Oh, forgive me, Mr. Mellenby, I don't understand. Why on earth should you do that?
It's very simple. You see, just over 2 weeks ago, Frank Roscoe saved my wife and child from drowning at the risk of his own life.
Really?
It's put me under an enormous obligation to him. Now I feel I have a chance to discharge the debt.
Oh, this is most surprising. I am bound to say I think it would be a most quixotic action. If you saw my letter to him, you must know my view of him. The truth is, the man's a complete rogue.
Oh, he's a rogue, all right. That may be why I'm anxious to square my account with him. It isn't at all pleasant to be indebted to a rogue.
Believe me, Mr. Mellenby, he doesn't deserve your consideration. He's a fraud. He's behaved abominably to me.
How did you come to meet him?
Well, oddly enough, it was through a kind deed that he got to know me. It was in connection with a cause with which I am closely associated. After a meeting, he offered me a generous contribution. I had never met him before, but we had a drink and a chat, and I must admit I took to him.
I know, he can be charming and persuasive when he feels like it.
We became quite friendly. And when he talked about a business he was interested in, a fleet of pleasure boats on the less active canals, I think it was I who first suggested investing some money in it. Damn it, I even pressed him.
That was the £7,000.
Yes. Shortly afterwards, he went to the West Country to buy some additional craft, he said.
And nothing else happened, I suppose?
Not for some time. He had promised to send me some share certificates, but nothing came. Then I had some financial troubles, and I badly needed that £7,000, or its equivalent. By now, I'd begun to think I'd been a simple fool. And I was about to make inquiries when he wrote to me from Bath, promising the certificate soon. But it was a very vague letter.
He was playing for time, of course.
Yes. Well, I'd begun to have real doubts now. And I wrote to him rather stiffly, asking him to return the money at once.
Yes, it was a letter that worried him a good deal.
Well, I had no acknowledgement, not even an excuse. I felt really angry by this time, and I wrote the letter you saw. I can't help feeling it would be best to put the matter in the hands of the police.
The fact remains that he did me the greatest service one man can do another.
It's odd. He does seem to be capable of generous impulses.
One way I can repay him is to save him from going to jail. Indeed, I'm committed. I promised him, before he left, that I'd settle his account for him.
Oh, he's gone, has he?
Yes, I made it a condition that he should leave my house at once. And he cleared off after breakfast. I don't even know where he's gone. What I do know, Mr. Faulkner, is that you'll be doing me a service by accepting my check and not pressing a charge against him.
I think I can understand why you don't want to hand him over. But as for the money...
If I pay it, I can, I hope, forget about him.
I admit I need the money, but I feel very reluctant to accept it from... Well, forgive me, Mr. Mellenby, but from a stranger...
The circumstances are unusual. He owed you the money. I feel I owe it to you.
But he should be punished.
Yet in your letter you indicated that if he paid the money back, you wouldn't pursue it.
No, yes, of course, if he'd paid it of his own accord.
Whatever his faults, he's an unusually brave man. It's a mitigating factor, surely.
It's such a large sum. Forgive me for asking... But can you really afford it?
I can well afford it.
Have you put me in a quandary?
I'm asking it as a favor.
I must say your action is a very generous one, even if it is quite misguided.
It's settled, then. I have the check here ready made out.
And you've been very determined. Thank you, Mr. Mellenby. And let us hope that neither of us is ever troubled by Frank Roscoe again.
I think perhaps we've seen the last.
John, you look so dreadfully ill. I simply can't bear it. Kira's noticed it, too.
I'm ashamed of myself, Sally. I try, but I can't get it out of my mind. I think it gets worse instead of better.
Only I could help you. I'm quite certain George isn't making himself ill like this.
He's tougher than I am. People are made differently.
All you did was hit a man twice your size who was wrecking your home and threatening your child and actually beating George to a pulp.
I feel I killed him.
But that's nonsense. Anyhow, I'm sure it wasn't the chair that hit him. I think he struck his head on the fireplace as he fell. You're speaking now as if you meant to kill him.
I lifted that chair out of sheer uncontrolled fear. I think I had murder in my heart.
Well, it wouldn't be surprising at such a moment.
Thought is gnawing at me day and night. I'm going mad with
it. Darling, you're not being fair to yourself. It was all his
fault.
He
started it, I know, but it doesn't alter the fact that I'm going to be haunted by this for the rest of my life.
John, do you still want to confess?
I feel it's too late. It's impossible now.
Because if you do, darling, I won't try to stop you. Anything's better than seeing you like this.
I'm committed. Apart from anything else, I gave George my word I'd see it through. I can't go back on it.
You're sure?
Quite sure. Well, perhaps things will seem better now that I've got it off my chest. At least I've confessed to you.
If only I could give you absolution and some peace of mind. Shall I turn the wireless on, John? Quite a good concert tonight. John.
Hmm? What did you say?
What is it? Something in the paper?
Yes.
Let me see.
There.
Plans to divert the new Bath Radbury Road through Blackett's Lane and so bypass the village of Eversley, a black spot for accidents. The lane in its new form will be 30 feet wide. The Gazette understands that Blackett's Lane will be closed to all traffic from September the 15th. Until its reopening as a bypass.
They'll find him, of course.
How deep do they dig when they build a road?
A road to take heavy traffic would have to have tremendous foundations.
They might add all the width on the other side away from the...
Don't let's deceive ourselves. They're bound to find him.
John!
Sally, we're in a frightful mess.
What can we do?
They'll find the suitcase with his things, and they'll check up on the laundry marks. They'll find out who he was and come straight to us.
We've got to find George.
They'll learn about our association with the Sherstons. They'll ask all those questions we decided we couldn't answer. They'll find out about my check to Faulkner. It'll be the end of us, if they find the body.
But you said they must.
We made a dreadfully wrong decision, but there's no way back.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to move him somewhere else.
John, oughtn't we to try to find George first? You can't do it alone.
I wonder. Perhaps we could get the AA to look for him.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, but if he's in a quiet spot like the quarry, it might take days. We haven't the time. The lane's to be closed on the 15th. That's only 10 days from now. The workmen will start moving in well before that. I think we ought to start at once.
You don't mean tonight?
Well, I'd have to make some plans first, find a suitable place. I'm afraid I'll need your help, Sally.
Of course.
I'll spare you all I can.
Oh, darling.
We'll move the suitcase first, get acclimatized.
John, you're all right.
I've just about got to the point where I don't give a damn, that's all.
You actually slept for 6 hours. Do you feel better?
My back aches. Have you seen Kira?
Yes, she didn't hear us coming.
Oh, that's a relief. Did you get any sleep?
No, not really. I'd no sooner closed my eyes than I had the most extraordinary thought. I almost wakened you to tell you about it.
What was it?
You remember when George rang you up that night to tell you Roscoe had died?
Yes.
What did he say exactly? Can you remember?
What do you mean?
I mean, did he say when it happened, finding him dead?
Yes, he said about half an hour before he rang me.
And how long after that was it before you reached the caravan?
About 3/4 of an hour, perhaps less.
John, do you realize how long it took you to dig that new hole last night?
What is this leading up to, Sally?
That's what kept me awake. If George was telling the truth, he had less than an hour and a half to dig much deeper, a full-size grave, and he had started filling in again before you got there. Could he have done it?
I see. No, I don't think he could.
He's very strong, of course.
Yes, but he had to find a suitable place to dig, telephone me, and get back. And he was digging in a tougher spot. I'd say it was absolutely impossible. Sally, this is fantastic.
If we're right, it means that Roscoe died sooner than George said he did. And he didn't tell you about the death until the grave was almost finished.
It seems incredible.
He went ahead on his own because he didn't think you would agree.
Simply can't believe it. You mean he kept back the truth as a calculated policy?
Unless you're prepared to consider an even worse alternative.
What do you mean?
Isn't it obvious? If Roscoe died when George said he did, then George started digging his grave while he was still alive.
Well, that can be ruled out right away.
Can it?
If he had the slightest suspicion that Roscoe was going to die, he'd have called a doctor, not dug a grave. He's not a monster.
We don't really know him very well.
We know him well enough for that, I think. Why would it would have been deliberate murder, just as if he had hit him with a spanner.
Perhaps he did just that.
Sally.
Darling, I've been thinking about this for hours. It seems to me that if he deliberately finished off Roscoe himself, that would account for his not phoning you and his haste to get rid of the body. There might have been marks he didn't want you to see.
It is a point. But there's not a scrap of evidence to support it.
Isn't there? Didn't George keep on saying that Roscoe wasn't fit to live?
That's a very different thing from killing him.
Well, his feeling about Eve was primitive, and he'd had a rough upbringing. He was just the sort who would take revenge, and there was almost no risk. He'd know you'd have to cooperate afterwards because you were in it, too.
I was in it. It was my blow that knocked him out.
Look, a strong, tough man like Roscoe, honestly, John, did he look as if he were going to die when George took him away? He was already beginning to come round. We were both absolutely staggered when we heard he was dead, and we had good reason to be, don't you see?
I can see you're trying to take the load off me. You know, you've really thought all this up because you want it to be true.
Surely you agree there's a case.
I can't see him as a cold-blooded murderer deliberately finishing off a helpless man. Though there is one point you haven't even thought of.
What's that?
He was very willing to take Roscoe to the caravan. He actually suggested it.
There you are, then.
And he cleared out of the district pretty quickly. Well, that was natural. Sally, we must try to find the caravan.
Yes, I'm sure it's the thing to do.
Well, if you're right, he may be on the continent by now.
The ferry boats are pretty well booked up at this time of the year. I don't think he'd get a place for a caravan at such short notice.
No, perhaps not.
Do you remember the number of George's car?
Yes, I made a note of it when Roscoe got stuck in the lane with the caravan.
What exactly will you say if we do find him?
It could be very awkward. We'll just have to take a step at a time. I'll begin by telling him about Faulkner's letter and then about the road widening. I'll tell him about my digging for the suitcase and the time it took me.
Suppose you were convinced he'd done it. Would you tell the police?
I suppose we face that problem when it arises. We've got to find him first. I'll get on to the AA now about the caravan. This looks like the site.
Yes, this is it.
I'll drive slowly round in a moment and you keep a lookout.
Heavens, there are hundreds. I'm surprised at them coming to this sort of place.
They wanted to lose themselves in a crowd there. Can you see them?
Yes. I believe I can see the car and the caravan.
Give me the glasses, will you?
Yeah. Can you see George?
No, but if the car's there, they must be.
How do you feel?
Pretty keyed up. Do you think we can go through with it?
You're not expecting him to get violent.
There are too many people about for that. We'll feel our way and go easy on accusations. We'll decide on the next step when we've compared notes afterwards. All right?
All right, darling.
Then here goes.
There, Dave.
Well, of all things. George, it's the Melendez.
What? Why, hello, you two. What is it, a surprise? We were saying only last night it was about time we rang you.
Yes.
How did you manage to find us?
It wasn't too difficult. We got the AA to help, and you left quite a good trail.
How are you both?
Oh, we're fine, thanks. We've been enjoying a good rest. We needed it, too, after that business. Well, now, what about a drink, eh? We're expecting some friends along later, as a matter of fact. A young couple we met in Gloucester the other day, but they won't be here yet. What about you, Sally?
No, thank you. It's a bit early for me.
And for me.
No drink? You sure? There's nothing wrong, is there?
As a matter of fact, there is. That's why we're here.
Bad news? Oh, I think perhaps I'll have a drink myself. Well, what's the trouble, John?
Well, the first thing that happened was a letter from a man whom Roscoe had defrauded of £7,000.
What?
7,000?
We were pretty shaken ourselves.
But, well, you mean the letter was to you?
No, it was to Roscoe. I opened it. It was from a man named Faulkner. There'd been some correspondence between them, and he had our address.
What did he say?
Faulkner said he was going to put the police on to him. I knew we couldn't risk any inquiries, so...
What did you do?
I went to see this man, Faulkner, and paid him £7,000. I said I was doing it out of gratitude to Roscoe.
Good God, you paid it? Well, that was pretty drastic. Wasn't there any other way?
I couldn't think of one.
Well, good heavens, man, why on earth didn't you get in touch with me straight away?
I had to move quickly. It was a question of hours. You remember you yourself acted without consulting me.
Yes. Yes, of course, I see. Well, I'll pay my share, of course.
I'm not worried about the money. There's worse to come.
Worse?
Yes. We learned a few days ago that the council are going to widen Blackett's Lane.
Oh, that's something I never thought of.
No, we should have thought of it.
When are they going to start?
Almost any day now.
Ah, what a lousy piece of luck. Oh, well, we'll have to get to work again, that's all.
Sally and I have already been at work.
What?
We've already moved the suitcase. It was quite a job. We spent the greater part of a night at the quarry.
Oh, hell, I really am sorry about this, John. Sally and you have had the whole thing on your shoulders. Anyhow, I'll take care of the rest. I can manage it on my own.
You certainly seem to dig faster than I do.
Yes, well, I'm a good bit stronger, of course.
Even so, I've been wondering how you managed to dig Roscoe's grave in less than an hour and a half.
Just kept sweating at it, Elmer.
I don't think that was it.
What the devil do you mean?
I mean that I know you couldn't have done it in that time.
What the hell are you suggesting?
I'm asking for an explanation.
There's nothing to explain. You're wrong, that's all.
Perhaps you knew he was going to die and dug the grave in readiness.
Good God, you don't get back on
the... Or perhaps you killed him because you hated
him. Oh, you're out of your mind.
It's something we'll be able to check up.
Oh, God.
Oh. Well, it looks as though I'll have to tell you the truth.
It's about time we had it.
George! He didn't mean to, Sally. I know he didn't.
No, I didn't mean to. You've got to believe me, John.
What happened?
Well, it was after midnight. Eve was asleep. Suddenly there was a noise. And I looked up and there he was coming for me. Well, I went for him. Honestly, all I meant to do was to stop him.
Go on.
We struggled and I got my hands on his throat. And then suddenly he sagged back and I realized that he was dead. But I was simply defending myself, I swear it.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I was afraid. I said over and over again that I hated his guts. I didn't know whether you believed me. I had no witness. He was still asleep.
Yes, I had taken a sleeping pill.
And so I decided, well, I thought I might just get away with it. So I dug the grave. Then I rang you.
And let me believe that I was responsible when I hit him.
It was a lousy trick, I know.
It was
unspeakable. How could you? John's been torturing himself, making himself ill.
The way I saw it, I had no option. Anyway, there it is. If you give me away now, I'm finished.
So, now we know.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
John, if you just leave it to me, I'll take care of everything. I don't really expect you to forgive me, but I can't believe you'll sacrifice even me on account of Roscoe.
Let's go, Sally. Let's go home.
What are you thinking, darling?
That it's been a ghastly business.
And still is.
Yes. It's not over.
I suppose it could have been worse. I mean, it could have been murder.
We only have Sherston's word for it that it wasn't.
Don't you think he was telling the truth?
How could one tell?
But, darling, whether he did it on purpose or by accident, he did it, not you. That, to me, is the important thing.
Could a semi-conscious man really become dangerous again so suddenly?
I think it's possible. He might have been shamming for a bit, and George could have thought him dangerous.
I wonder. Oh, we're just coming into Monmouth. I need some tobacco. Look after it, shall
I? Oh, I see one over there.
All right. I'll go into the station yard. There's no place to park. I won't be a minute.
Heavens. What's the matter, John? What are you staring at?
Sally, you see this man coming towards us. Do you know who he is?
No.
Mr. Mellendy. Well, you're the last person I expected to see here.
Yes, it's extraordinary. Sally, this is Charles Faulkner. Oh. You remember I took that check to him. My wife, Mr. Faulkner.
Oh, how do you do? Well, this is really remarkable. It prompts the old saying that the world's a small place.
Yes, indeed.
I remember I ran into a man on the quayside at Bangkok. Hadn't seen him for 20 years. Oh, but how are you, Mr. Mellenby? Any word from Roscoe?
No, we haven't heard.
You have a quixotic husband, Mrs. Mellenby. But what brings you here? Do you often come to these parts?
No, very rarely. We've just been visiting some friends who are staying here. And you? Are you on holiday?
Yes, just for a few days. I've always been fond of the Forest of Dean, especially at this time of year.
Are you staying in Monmouth?
Yes. I make it my headquarters.
You're not at the Crown, are you? We had an excellent lunch there.
No, I'm at the King's Arms. It's also very good. If you're at the Crown, perhaps you'll join me in a glass or something after dinner.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. Faulkner, but actually we're on our way home now.
Ah, well, in that case, I mustn't detain you. It's been very pleasant meeting you again, Mellenby. I shall always be grateful to you, but I know you don't like gratitude. Goodbye, Mrs. Mellenby.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
He seems a nice old man. Wake up, darling.
It's extraordinary.
Aren't you going to get your tobacco?
No, it doesn't matter. We'll stop later on. In fact, extraordinary isn't the word for it.
But it's the kind of thing that's always happening.
I'd have said he'd just come off a train.
What on earth makes you say that?
I think he came out of the station and the papers and magazines he had under his arm. Just the sort of thing for a journey down from London.
Was it the London train?
I don't know. Do you mind if we stop again at a telephone box?
Darling, you're behaving very strangely.
I just want to make sure of something.
Well, there'll be a telephone in the station.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll go in there. Won't be long.
That was quick. Well, what was it you wanted to know?
Faulkner isn't staying at the King's Arms. They don't know him there. I thought he hesitated.
But why should he lie about it?
Sally, I'll swear he'd just come off the train.
But he didn't have to tell us. He was.
I don't believe meeting him here was just a coincidence. Think of it. We come to see the Sherstons about Roscoe. And we meet a man I've only seen once before who's also connected with Roscoe. And he told us a phony story.
What are you driving at? Do you mean there may be some connection between Faulkner and the Sherstons?
Yes, perhaps.
Oh, I don't understand at all.
Neither do I. All I know is I'm not satisfied. There's something very peculiar here. And I'm going to find out what it is.
What are you going to do?
We've got to do this, Sally. We've got to go back to the caravan. Now. I'll stop here before we reach the hump of the hill where they can't see the car.
We'll walk.
John, I'm rather frightened. Do you think it's wise?
We've got to see this thing through. Ready?
John, look. There's another car there now.
I can't see anyone from here, can you?
No. They may be sitting on the other side of the caravan.
Yes, you're right. I can see someone's foot.
Darling, the guest they spoke of must have arrived. Faulkner wouldn't have a car. He came by train. Perhaps we should go back.
They might have picked him up. And I think we ought to make sure now we're there.
We'll have to get some reason for coming back. What should we say?
My watch. I'll say I dropped it somewhere. The strap broke. Come on. Roscoe! Roscoe, but how? How?
You damn fools. I thought you said they'd gone home.
I watched them drive off. How could I know they would come
back? I guess we've had it, Frank.
You swine.
Oh, come. We're not as bad as that. Nobody's been hurt after all. We're not really violent types. Only in fun, eh, Frank?
Only in fun, a few well-rehearsed punches.
Doesn't agony of mine mean anything to you? Do you realize what we've been through?
Oh, you're soft, Mellonby. You fret too much.
It was monstrous. The most monstrously wicked thing I've ever heard. Darling. Sally. You're right.
Yes, I think so. John, can we go away, please?
Yes, we will, very soon.
Oh, give her a chair. I can understand it's a bit of a shock.
How did you manage it? How did you do it? I saw him.
Not him, Mellonby. Just a dressmaker's dummy, one of our few props. Oh, he would have deceived anyone 4 feet down in a poor light. It was quite well executed, don't you think?
A most polished performance, all of it.
Thank you. We had bad luck, of course. That road-widening nonsense.
And supposing I'd insisted on going to the police in the first instance?
And invite a 5-year sentence, it wasn't very likely. No one ever has.
You mean you've done this before?
Well, there are one or two chaps around who firmly believe they've killed Roscoe in a fight. Aren't there, Frank?
There are. One born every minute, you know. Not all suitable material for this particular routine, of course. But then we've got other lines.
It seems a very torturous way of making £7,000.
You know a better one? It came off, didn't it? Or would have done if it hadn't been for that damned road of yours. That's the acid test. Does it work? And £7,000 in a month is hardly to be sneezed at. All tax-free, don't forget. But of course, Faulkner is the real rascal, aren't you, Charles? A great actor.
Thank you, George. I do my best.
But then we're all quite proficient, wouldn't you say?
You're proficient, all right. A fine predatory gang.
Yeah, that's it, Mellonby. Opportunity hunters on permanent safari. You just look around to see who you can do a good turn to. Rescuing your wife and kid was just a lucky break, of course. That kind of chance doesn't often happen.
You're very frank.
Well, man, considering what you know about us already, there's not much point in being anything else, is there? It's what they call a fair cop. But if you showed any signs of causing trouble, we'd be out of the country before the police had even got the particulars down, so don't get any funny ideas. But you're not going to give us away.
What makes you say that?
My dear fellow, what would you gain by it? Of course, we all realize that we'll probably be jailed in the end. It's an occupational risk we accept. But why should you ruin your life by trying to hurry it up, eh?
Ruin myself?
That's what you'd be doing, Mellonby.
Yes, your name would stink if it all came out. I can just see it spread all over the local paper.
What do you think would happen if you told your story in court? Maybe you haven't thought of what it would sound like.
I'll be able to explain the position I was in. It's not as though I committed any crime.
Well, you certainly behaved as if you had. I tell you, Mellonby, if you don't keep your mouth shut, you'll be changing your name and emigrating in 6 months.
Don't listen to me, John.
I quite realize it wouldn't sound very nice.
Nice? It'd sound really awful. Playing along with a bunch of crooks and not realizing it, falling for a lot of melodramatic threats, too scared to even go to the police.
Yes, I was scared.
John, stop. Stop it, all of you. It's not true what you're saying, any of it. He wasn't scared of going to the police. He wasn't. I tell you, it was me. I begged him not to. Everything he did was for me and Tony.
We've put things the way the world will see them.
I'm afraid you may be right, sir.
John!
Besides, what are you going to tell the police? That you believe there had been a murder and kept quiet about it? Or just that you gave Faulkner £7,000.
You must admit, Mellonby, that you implored me to take...
it'd be just plain damn stupid to talk now.
Of course, we wouldn't let you be the loser. You can have your money back. That goes without saying. It's only fair. Yeah, you agree, George?
All right,
me,
mate.
Charles?
Oh, yes, of course.
All right, that's settled then. As a matter of fact, we'll be really generous.
Are you going to take it, John?
Of course he's going to take it. I'll write it out now.
Will it be honored?
It'll be on it all right. We've pulled off several lucrative deals lately, haven't we, George?
Yes, we have. Oh, you needn't worry, Mellonby. It won't bounce.
There it is. £8,000. £1,000 extra for pain and suffering.
You think £1,000 covers what we've suffered?
Well, I'd suffer a lot for that myself.
If I do take it, it doesn't mean I condone anything you've done.
Oh, take it, you damn fool.
Well, it is my own, after all. And I don't see why I should wreck my life on account of a pack of scoundrels.
Oh, John.
Haven't we been through enough, Sally? It's no good. I just can't stand anymore. Come on, let's go home and try and forget. As for you, if I ever come across you or your accomplices again...
Don't worry. It's a long and lasting goodbye.
It had better be. Come on, Sally.
Oh, goodbye, my dear fellow. Goodbye.
What a monstrous, diabolical plan.
John, this time we've got to tell the police.
You think so?
We've got to, darling. We were wrong. It was all my fault, I know, but we were wrong. We can't do it again. We mustn't.
You're sure? We keep our counsel now and nothing more can happen. It really is over.
Only for us. It's not really over. They'll do it again. They'll go on doing it. They'll make other people suffer just as we did. Darling, someone's got to stop them. They're relying on people just thinking about themselves and taking the easy way. Didn't you say yourself that if everyone did that, the world wouldn't be fit to live in?
Did I?
John, why do I have to say this? Surely you agree.
Of course I agree.
But you took the check as though it settled everything.
I had to, Sally. I had to make them feel absolutely safe and sure, or they'd clear off and get away. Oh. That's all. I couldn't let you know, could I?
Oh, I'm so relieved. I couldn't understand what was happening to you. You were terribly convincing.
And with any luck, they were convinced, too. Sally, it's going to be pretty tough for us. You do realize that.
Will it be as bad as Roscoe said?
Well, you never can tell, but Roscoe doesn't know very much about decent people.
We'll just have to see it through.
That's it. We'll see it through together.
Golden Deed by Andrew Garve, dramatized by Eileen Cullen. The part of John Mellenby was played by Peter Cook. Sally, his wife, Joan Matheson. Frank Roscoe, William Edel. George Sherston, Ronald Baddeley. Eve Sherston, June Tobin. Charles Faulkner, Hugh Manning. Kira, Daphne Jonathan. Tony Mellenby, Glenn Grant. And the landlord, Kenneth Dyte. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Cedric Messina.